Well, good evening, friends, and this time I am trying to go ahead. We have finished program number 22 of the six stages of discipleship. And somewhere it says how long it lasts. Now we're closing off, I hope, the particular ending of the chela within the master's aura. It will be program 23, and we begin with page 762, today being, again, the day of the Cancer solstice. The gate into life of a kind of those who must know death, the death of consciousness and the stifling at first of the higher points of tension. We've looked at the possibility of distributing energy, and we found out that it works in two ways. One is general and universal, and another comes very late in the training process that disciples undergo within the ashram. And that would be a method of distributing energy rather than simply force, distributing it directly and in a focused manner. Being one of the, as he says here, the last stages in the training process. There's a lot to learn, obviously. And we are just being, as complex as it may seem, we're just being given the ABCs. And years, decades, centuries lie ahead of us as we attempt to truly understand the nature of esotericism. Now, I just want to make sure that I'm, looks like I'm in the right place. So DK begins here. It's our program number 23. And I think it just goes as far as page 764. That's it. And then we'll take up the sixth stage, about which he says, I think, quite a bit. But of the seventh stage, he does not really say very much. So going on with Master DK, the constitution of the ego or soul is the factor of paramount importance to the master in the task of training the disciple for hierarchical work. This necessarily involves the three higher centers, head, heart, and throat, each one of which is, in a way, an outpost for one of the three major types of monads, head to the first ray monad to the head, second ray to the heart, and third ray to the throat. It is with the so-called egoic lotus, is he meaning to cast doubt on that term, that he, the master, is concerned. And this is a point which is the disciple, by now an initiate disciple, is very apt to forget. We're dealing with the manner in which the training occurs of the newly entered disciple in into the ashram at a fairly, well, quite a high level, where he can be impressed by the master's outstanding radiation, as it has been called and as we have been studying. So the three higher centers become of great importance. But what about the soul, who in this case seems to be the solar angel? And maybe the angel of the presence as a projection of the solar angel. The soul is preoccupied with its own life. The details of the personality life, its inadequate expression or shadow in the three worlds, simply make no impact whatsoever upon the soul consciousness, as the violence of the personality life grows. The soul, which has been increasingly the recipient of the best the aspiring personality has to offer, and which has been slowly turning its attention away from its own affairs, I guess, turning its attention towards the mind of the personality, becomes also aware of an opposing factor to true soul expression upon the outer periphery of life. Well, let's really try to understand that that downward gazing soul, which occurs at certain stages in the magical process, is not all that interested in the the affairs of the personality. The soul is preoccupied with its own life. That's a bit big. And so, in a way, is not a true avatar, because the avatar descends from above out of pure benevolence and with no sense that it can gather something from the lower life which it serves. The details of the personality life, again, its inadequate expression or shadow in the three worlds, make simply no impact upon the soul consciousness. And that is probably a thought which is not easy for us to accept, because we usually think of this higher power as being very receptive, very receptive to what has been transpiring below in our own world. However, as the violence of the personality life grows, it is a good method of attention getting, you might say. The soul, which has been increasingly the recipient of the best the aspiring personality has to offer, and which has been slowly turning its attention towards the mind of the personality, becomes also aware of an opposing factor to true soul expression upon the outer periphery of life. The soul finds itself blocked by the violence and the counter-spiritual activity of the personality. We build the causal body by an alchemical process. The angel of the presence sent forth as an extension of itself by the solar angels, at least that's my theory, has been extracting alchemically what can be used within the higher mind, within the egoic lotus or causal body. But now the obstructiveness of the same item, the same being or point of tension, is noticed by the soul and probably by the master as well. And then the battle of the higher of the opposites, or pairs of opposites, begins. The battle of the soul and personality consciously waged on both sides. Not just an unconscious brawl, but waged with deliberation. And that is the point to have in mind. The conflict culminates prior to each of the first three initiations. We have the, what can we call it? The burning ground experience before each of the first three initiations. In the confronting of the two opponents, the dweller on the threshold of initiation, my brother. So, you know, it's a good thing, in a way, to be a dweller on the threshold of greater possibilities, and the angel of the presence stand face to face. So very definitely, we're talking about that extension of the solar angel, which we call the angel of the presence, and it faces the dweller on the threshold. But with that battle, we are not here concerned. We are occupied with the theme of the response to hierarchical energy as embodied in the master's aura, and from thence transmitted to the disciple. That's our theme. And there are three channels of direction, channels of direction. There are three of them, might be expressed as follows. So let's go back a little bit here. Then the battle is waged. The battle is waged. That is the point to have in mind. And the climax of this battle with the opponents facing each other. And I guess if we are being prepared for initiation, as every true disciple is, we have to ask ourselves, are we aware of this battle occurring? Are we aware? And then please remember, the soul is preoccupied with its own life, and that for a long time. And somewhere I remember reading that the soul, angel of the presence, has to take the dweller in hand. And this is something that it finds distasteful to do. And all of this going on behind the scenes. A great battle occurring to allow the disciple to pass if he measures up in terms of his vibration. So the heightening of our point of tension and the ability to withstand the burning grounds become both of them very important. But our theme basically is, how does the disciple respond to hierarchical energy as embodied in the master's aura? That is our theme. Now, let's see about the channel or channels, three of them, which are used for the transmission of energy. The hierarchy as a whole, which is the ashram of Sanat Kumara, the master, the master of a ray ashram, such as KH's, such as Master Maurya is. The ashram itself in its several divisions, usually kind of a sevenfold division, with the inclusiveness of the Chohan who supervises the entire Ray Ashram. And then the soul is in the ashram. So we speak of the soul of the disciple, which is eventually reached by this energy, beginning from the hierarchy. Okay. Let's take a look at this. And we'll, 1, 2, 3. And there we, wrong color. Since it's the hierarchy, we will put it in the indigo. I can't match up the colors all the time, of course, because I'm somewhat limited here. Then there is humanity. So we're carrying the extension further from the hierarchy to humanity. And this involves the true disciple who is building the Antikarana and the three higher centers, head, heart, and throat. So here we will use the green color. Now we're talking about the true disciple, and even the true aspirant is at a quite a lofty state, having taken the first initiation. The true disciple, perhaps we can say, is the accepted disciple. I guess we can't make too much out of these stages because they are, after all, just steps along the way, and we don't want to become fixated with any of them. Now, this is, says the Tibetan, a broad and general process involving a hierarchy and humanity, and reaching from the universal as far as the individual disciple is concerned, because the entire hierarchy can be looked at as universal, to the particular, the disciple in the physical body. We have to know where the energy comes from and the channels through which it passes, if we are one day going to be able to wield it. So these descents are most interesting, and it tells us from whence we can expect the inspiring downflow. The detail of the descent of energy, or of the process of your spiritual inspiration, both these phrases pictorially present the concept of response to the master's aura, might be put as follows. So he's going to become, it looks like, even more detailed than he was before. Okay, how does he do that? Okay. And I think he puts it basically all together. And we are getting closer, aren't we, to the end of this section. So we start with the master's aura. There are these outstanding radiations which are of an inspiring nature, and the disciple and the discipleship group, and one day humanity, seeks to become inspired by the master's aura. The egoic lotus, or soul body, we want that stimulation in our egoic lotus. So the master's aura is quite high. It resides at a high point of tension within the spiritual triad. But then we have, as a result of its work, we have the egoic lotus or soul body. And then the inflow of ashramic energy, also stimulated by the master's aura. Via, now, are we going to have a transparent transmission? The sacrifice petals, or the will aspect, the love petals, or the love wisdom aspect, and the knowledge petals, or the mind aspect. And this comes right down into our own mechanism. This process will be affected by the raytite of the disciple. There is so much that tells us that the monadic ray determines the geometry of elevation. Then why should it not determine the geometry of descent? The response from the disciple upon the physical plane and the receptivity of his centers to the actively engendered by the soul, and the receptivity of his centers to the activity engendered by the soul under impression by the master would be as follows. So it's a complete unit of inspiration and then response. And as we reach more a grounding point within the personality of the disciple, responses of the following kind are to be expected. The sacrifice petals would transmit energy to the head center via the sacrifice petals, three of them, to be found in the ring of petals immediately around the jewel in the lotus. Well, that sounds to me like the synthesis petals, which are built basically by a downflow of Buddhic force and not by a downflow of higher monastic force. So the sacrifice petals would transmit energy to the head center. I suppose there is a correlation between the three sacrifice petals and various structures within the head. So to the head via the sacrifice petals, usually called the synthesis petals, if that's what he means, because in a way the true mental sacrifice petals do surround the entire structure within the synthesis petals and the jewel in the lotus. Does he mean that? So, but there is a ring of petals, and he uses the word immediately around the jewel in the lotus, and from thence to the sacrifice petal in the three love petals and in the three knowledge petals. You therefore have the five transmitting points of will energy. And now I'm quite convinced that he's not talking about the synthesis petals. He appears if I can get this out of the way. He appears to be speaking of the sacrifice tier, which immediately surrounds the synthesis petals and the jewel in the lotus, because his next point involves the love petals. So presumably the three sacrifice petals surround that central structure, which include which includes the synthesis petals and the jewel in the lotus. So you therefore have five transmitting points of will energy. There is some kind of will energy transmitted, of course, through the synthesis petals, especially one of them, and certainly through the jewel in the lotus. The love petals similarly transmit love energy to the heart center via the love petals, five in all. One in the sacrifice tier, three in the love tier, and one in the knowledge tier. The knowledge petals transmit energy, the energy of intelligent activity, to the throat center, again, in the same manner, via the five knowledge petals, one of them in the sacrifice tier or circle of petals, and one in the love tier or circle of petals, and three of them in the knowledge tier. So there are 15 transmissions, all in all. Even if we count the transmissions from the petals in the way here suggested. The process going on in the egoic vehicle and registered by the disciple upon the physical plane produces eventually what could be called a potent center of invocation. This center evokes response from the spiritual triad. Okay. Now maybe we can go back just a little bit. We have the responsiveness as our main subject in this stage of Chela within the aura, the responsiveness of the initiate disciple. It all starts with the master's aura, then to the egoic lotus or soul body. And then there's the inflow of ashramic energy. Via the sacrifice petals or the will aspect, the love petals or the love wisdom aspect, and the knowledge petals or the mind aspect. And all of this process of the descending will be affected by the ray type of the disciple. I'm not going to distinguish coloristically here. But we do know that energy descends and we can invoke it. And when we are successful in our invocation comes the response. And all of this, the evocatory response, and all of this is about the response to the master's aura. That's where it begins. We see that there's nothing especially passive about this stage of being within the master's aura. Much is expected of us in terms of receptivity. So the master's aura does stimulate the egoic lotus and ashramic energy comes in as well via three types of petals and the method of descent will be according to the ray type of the disciple. And we find that the monad of the disciple determines which points in various triangles are first touched. The response from the disciple upon the physical plane to where to this energy finally reaches, and the receptivity of his centers to the activity engendered by the soul under the impression by the master would be as follows. So he's going into the technical response of the response apparatus of the recipient disciple, what would happen? The sacrifice petals would transmit energy to the head center via the sacrifice petals, three of them, to be found in the ring of petals immediately around the jewel in the lotus. So yes, the sacrifice tier seems to be involved here, surrounding the synthesis petals and the jewel. From thence to the sacrifice petal in the three love petals and in the three knowledge petals. So there are, and it's easy to see, I think, five transmitting points, all of which have an underlying sacrificial theme. Then something similar occurs for the love petals, transmitting love energy, not to the head, but to the heart, via the love petals. Again, five in all, if we count what is going on in each of the other tiers where there is only one petal dedicated to the five of which we are speaking. So five love wisdom transmitters, three of them in the love petals and one of them in the sacrifice petals and one of them in the knowledge petals. And then the same. The knowledge petals transmit energy, the energy of intelligent activity, to the throat center. Again, in the same manner, via the five knowledge petals. So we really do find that he's counting in fives and not just the circle that particularly relates either to will, love, or sacrifice. there's a doubling up isn't there. A doubling up so that 15 is the number, because by the time we're completed, we have added 6 additional petals that do double service. And yet, you know, earlier you said that basically there is a radiation from whomever. And when the psychic interprets that radiation, it comes out in terms of color and sound. So the process going on in the egoic vehicle and registered by the disciple upon the physical plane produces eventually what might be called, quote, a potent energy or center of invocation. And this invoking center evokes response from the spiritual triad by the, I think, the method of superimposition. What's going on in the mental area is going to invoke Atma. What's going on in the heart area will invoke Buddhi. The heart area of the egoic lotus, and what's going on in the activity intelligence area of the egoic lotus will evoke mentality. And the result is, if we can understand it, eventually you have the spiritual triad, which at this point is the custodian of monadic energy, the atmic permanent atom, the sacrifice petals, the antikarama, the physical permanent atom within the egoic lotus. Now, in this case, it seems a little reversed and reflective that Atma corresponds to the physical permanent atom in the lower part of the egoic lotus, and this finds its way to the head center. Now, basically, this is the will line. Our task is to bring the monad, of which every aspect of the soul and personality is either the reflection or the produced by superimposition, to bring it right down into the daily consciousness experienced upon the dense physical level. The next one we work from the spiritual triad, and we involve the Buddhic permanent atom, the relationship between the master and the atmic permanent atom, or the Buddhic permanent atom, is not yet complete. The love petals and the antikarana seems always to be involved, because the connection to the spiritual triad, whether ascending or descending, is created via the antikarana, the astral permanent atom within the egoic lotus, and that's always the way it is. Buddhi is connected with astrality on a lower turn of the spiral. It's connected with or reflected within the atmic permanent atom, and the heart center is involved. Now, these organ termini, it could be the heart as an organ terminus, and certainly the other one instead of the head center could be the brain. When it comes to the throat, we do have a method of speaking. And so certain physical organs could be considered to be involved. Then from the spiritual triad, well, let me get this one properly differentiated. Oh, wrong. Let's see here. Okay, well, it looks like I had another one of those little issues. But now we're talking about the relationship of the love petals to the astral permanent atom, also found in the atomic triangle at the base of the egoic lotus. And the heart center is involved, and maybe the heart. And finally, and lastly, we deal with the spiritual triad, the monastic we're dealing with now the lowest part of the spiritual triad in that transmission, the monastic permanent atom, over which the master has definite control, is involved. The knowledge petals, yes, and the antikarana. Now the mental unit is also part of the atomic triangle. And this, I think, can be considered a reflection rather than a superimposition Finally, the terminus is etheric, the throat center, but there are organs within the throat, the vocal cords and so forth. So if we're looking for a physical plane anchor, we could find it. Now, so three lines of transmission. Invoking from the spiritual triad a downflow of monadic atomic energy, Buddhic to astral energy, and monastic, higher monastic to mental energy. I guess by now we are familiar within of this kind of or with this kind of downflow. I guess the point is there will be energy flowing from the, let's call it the personality of the monad, which is the spiritual triad. And the key here is to respond to it in the proper way. So the outstanding radiation of the master can reach us. And in every case, the Antikarana is involved because we can't really reach down into the personality unless the Antikarana is in process of being built. So let's see what he says about this final summary. These details, brother of mine, are of technical interest, are purely academic, and constitute simply word symbols of an inevitable evolutionary process. They are not the real experience, yet they describe the divine inspiration to which all human beings are subjected as an integral part of the life of God himself, and one which is constantly registered when a man reaches the stages of discipleship and initiation, presumably real discipleship. So we'll separate this out a bit and say, at first, that we've been presented with details. And they are technical, they are academic, and they are symbolic, and they are not themselves the process. But what do? They describe, maybe that's all we can do at the beginning of this, they describe the divine inspiration to which all human beings are subjected as an integral part of the life of God himself. All human beings are integral parts of the life of God. And one which is consciously registered when the man reaches the stages of discipleship and initiation. Now they may be going on, but consciously they are registered when a higher stage of initiate discipleship or the initiate disciple emerges. They demonstrate, when rightly understood, the nature of the science of the breath. We invoke, hold, and we evoke, and send forth and hold. The breath, well, okay, they demonstrate, when rightly understood, the science of the breath. DK is tying many things together. The breath is all. And in the method of invocation and evocation, which underlies the entire process, you have a hint as to the structure and activity of the heart of the sun, the organ of this second ray solar system, which is, the second major solar system on the second ray, because the solar logos has the second ray soul. The organ of this second ray solar system and the diastole and systole system of evolution, which is found in the universal life process. I guess every time we take our blood pressure, we are subjected to this diastole and systole. There's a reading above and a reading below. So it concludes with the idea that we're setting up an invocation, and that invocation is directly related to the science of the breath. It's amazing how many things Master DK ties together. Well, that was not a long program, but a lengthy entry into the idea of what it means to be inspired by the outstanding radiations of the Master's aura. Now, probably we are still waiting for the actual experience of that at our present stage of discipleship, which is as likely to be the Chela in the light as anything else, and maybe some know that they are accepted disciples, and probably there are fewer and fewer, if any, that are Chelas on the thread or Chelas within the aura, but the future of what we will go through is here given in great detail. And it has so much to do with calling, invoking, and expecting a response, which does come. sometimes I think when you look at life, it's not quite so cut and dried as this organized academic presentation. It's a little more mixed together, you might say. My hope is that I hope this is working properly. So, you know, it is my hope, and I think it's okay that I have not been doing a silent movie for you. It's very discouraging. Well, so far we have traveled through 5 of the 6 stages of discipleship. The next stage, I think, will be very interesting for what it is and what it isn't. The chela within the master's heart. Okay. And that's a very high stage indeed. So we've reached page 764. And today is the 21st of June. And we're about to begin program number 24. I think we can realize something of the incredible mind and heart of Master DK. We have finished here, and this takes us to /7:58 and /7:62. And now number 24 of the 6 stages of discipleship. And it will be from page 764 to wherever we land. Remember that we're getting close to the end of this particular section. And I think we realize, don't we, that we could study this material until we really assimilate it for years before those little hints, those little turns of phrase that the Tibetan uses really begin to be meaningful to us. We could do that. And we would not be the sadder for doing it. I don't know how many of us have this real will to study and to read very carefully what he has written, even though, as we know, the words are not the experience. Maybe some of us have it. And maybe we want to turn these words into real experiences. No way to do that, of course, except through meditation and service. Study alone will not do it. But we find ourselves increasingly integrated in a larger macrocosmic system whatever we might consider the macrocosm to be, whether our particular planetary scheme or our solar logoic scheme, or whether we go beyond and enter into the world of the local cosmic logos, of which our solar system plays the role of a heart center. So more and more we are integrated into our groups with which we identify, and integrated also into the solar system with which we increasingly identify, and then microscopic though we are, integrated into the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. Now, these are great realities. And maybe some of us, most of us, all of us, are being introduced to these ideas, even for the first time. But we have to begin somewhere, don't we? And the hints that he gives concerning here, for instance, the structure and activity of the heart of the sun. The heart of the sun being basically found upon the cosmic mental plane, far beyond us. But then Master DK presents all of this in such a organized and integrated manner that maybe we can begin to assimilate it. Okay, well, it is my hope that I've not run into any particular disaster along the way, which will take a lot of time from me and will delay this getting to you. It is my hope that this is a fairly short and straightforward program. And then we enter the sixth stage, which I hope will be undertaken a bit tomorrow. It looks like a 9-page section. And it looks like, maybe it's where I cut the book off, but it looks like that's the end of our study at this time of the six stages of discipleship. So friends, let's proceed. Let's study closely and in detail. Let us meditate deeply upon what we have assimilated or think we have, and let's find a way to use it in service. So Tuya and I and all the team for communications send lots of love to you and encouragement to deal with some of these amazing matters. Now, after having read this section in this way, if you just pick it up and read it straight through, you may find that it flows even more easily because you've done some of the translating work, let us say. You've translated it into something that is becoming real to you. So from below to above, from above to below, from invocation, if successful, to the evocative response, we find ourselves inspired, enriched by the radiation of the Master and by his ashram. And that even, I suppose, begins well before we can possibly reach the stage of chela within the aura. When it comes to chela within the Master's heart, we're going to find something still more advanced. And in the few words that he says about step seven, the stage seven, the blending of the lights, we will find something even more advanced. Well, we read ahead and we don't worry about the fact that it is ahead of us. We just know that we will be able to absorb it all eventually. And we begin with confidence that we have a master teacher who is giving us what we need to study in order to make real progress, which is not glamored, not illusory, not deluded, not chaotic, but the opposite of all those things. Okay, friends, that'll be it for the moment. And we'll get this out to you as soon as we can. See you soon now. Bye-bye.